Welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining us. I am very, very happy to have as my guest Anadeya Judith. She's going to be talking about manifestation and the beliefs that either support you or interfere with your creating what you want in life. Anadeya is very dear to my heart. We have a long history. We met about 10 years ago and became partners. And I learned about the chakras from her, and she learned about belief change from me, and we ended up creating a course, combining our wisdom and turning it into a course that we've taught all over the world called Creation is Ecstasy. And we had hundreds of people go through it. We saw people create miracles in their lives, manifest their dreams. And although we transitioned out of personal relationship, we preserved a very, very dear friendship and turned our manual for the course into a book, which we're very excited about, called Creating on Purpose, the Spiritual Technology of Manifesting Through the Chakras. It's a complete course in manifestation, and Anadeya and I worked very hard to create this book and make it available to the public. So I'll tell you a bit about Anadeya. She is an awesome author, philosopher, doctor of archetypes and history. She holds both a master's and doctoral degree in psychology and human health. She's a yoga teacher. She's studied mythology and history and sociology and systems theory. She's one of the brightest women I know, and probably one of the brightest women on the planet. And she's the country's most and best known expert on the chakras, and especially where the chakras are interface with psychology and therapy and also history. She teaches worldwide. She's got 6 books and 5 other audio and video products. She sold more than 500,000 bits of herself and has been translated into 15 languages. And she and I, as I said, traveled the world to teach our manifestation course. And so I'm very, very excited to have you here, Anadeya. Welcome to this program.
It feels so perfect to be on this with you. It's great. Thank you.
Yahoo! So, Anadeya, we are here to talk about the chakras, about manifestation, and about all things that have to do with creating the life of your dreams. So, why don't you start with telling us what manifestation has to do with the chakras? Most people associate the chakras with meditation and spirituality and liberation and enlightenment and the kundalini rising and causing an explosion at the top of your skull and becoming infinite oneness of peace and harmony and everything perfect. So how does that have anything to do with manifestation?
Well, that aspect doesn't have too much to do with manifestation, but that aspect is only half the story. The chakra system maps onto the human nervous system and aligns along, you know, just in front of the spine. So we have a linear system from bottom to top. And most people think of it, as you just described it, as a system for gaining enlightenment and elevating your consciousness. Emphasis on elevating, which means getting higher and higher until you reach the crown chakra. And we call that the current of liberation. And it's a very important current because you do get liberated from your fixed forms, your unconscious habits, the things that don't work in your life, and you get liberated through coming to higher consciousness. But, you know, we have to ask the question, what then? Like I say, that's only half the story. Once we reach higher consciousness, which many people who have been practicing various spiritual practices and New Age, you know, things in therapy and all that have been getting to higher states of consciousness, I really feel that the evolutionary trajectory right now is to turn around and come back down and actually actualize that consciousness through what we manifest in the world and make a change in this world and help it evolve to its next stage. And so in that way, we come down the chakras, which in the old text was called bhukti, or the journey of enjoyment, and in my work and in our work together, we have called it the journey of manifestation, where you begin in the highest thought plane and you get denser and denser and denser until you have a finished, tangible product or manifestation on the physical plane.
That, you reminded me that in Buddhism, they talk about enlightenment, the choice of becoming that, you know, oneness with everything, becoming a Buddha, but that there's a choice at that moment to either stay a Buddha and stay in the heavenly realms, or to come back on earth and help others achieve their own enlightenment, which makes you a bodhisattva. So it seems like that would be a good use for this downward current to come back down to earth. Is that what you were talking about?
Yes, and it is. You could take it as a bodhisattva, and some people might think, well, I have to get to total enlightenment before I can do that. I think that we are always working towards enlightenment, that never stops. There's no point at which we get there and it's done, and we are always manifesting, so we may as well become conscious about what we're manifesting, and I think that's where your belief process comes in.
And I like to quote Stuart Brand, who started the Whole Earth Catalog, who said, we are as gods, so we might as well get good at it.
Exactly, and this is about manifesting that divine consciousness down here on Earth, really to co-create heaven on Earth.
So there's a lot out there about the law of attraction, and if you just focus on the things you want, they will happen. But a lot of people have tried it. Some people seem to be successful because they sell their classes on it. But a lot of people have tried it and not found it very effective. Can you say why that might be?
Well, you know, I think you and I have both seen the law of attraction is just one small law among many, many magical or metaphysical laws about how things manifest. And actually, you know, the law of attraction, as it's stated, is that like attracts like. Well, really, we know how attraction happens in the world is that opposites attract. So like attracts unlike, you know. And I think what they really talk about in the law of attraction is the first law that we talk about in the chakras, the crown chakra law, consciousness creates. That what we have going on in our mind, our thoughts, our beliefs, are the beginning of what we create with. And so this is why the beliefs are so important and why I love your work with that, because if you're, you know, really working your tail off to try to manifest more money and you have a belief in there that you're not worth it or that, you know, you'll never make money no matter what you do and you're still trying on a conscious level to work hard, unconsciously you're going to deflect that money from you. So we need to get into our consciousness to see what we're creating.
Right, so that aligns with what I'm teaching in the course, which is that all beliefs are always creating whatever the experience is that they were designed to create. So if I believe that the world is unfair, for example, even though that belief is in the subconscious mind, it will continue to create the experience of unfairness, and
yes.
I won't get what I want. So if consciousness creates, then all of consciousness is always creating, which is why probably most of our lives look kind of like a mess.
Right, and that's where the upward journey to higher consciousness is important, because the more we clear our consciousness, the clearer our creating can be. And so it behooves us to do that clearing so that we create from a new place, a clear place.
I was talking to a client today who was saying, you know, I really don't know what I want, and there's all these shoulds in the way and ought tos and supposed tos. And I said, well, you can't know what you want if your mind is filled with all the shoulds and supposed tos and can'ts and shoulds. It's too crowded a field. You need to clear the field in order to even feel what you want, even know what you want.
Exactly. And all of those are beliefs. You know, what you should do is just a belief, and it may even be a cultural belief that that's what you should do. In 1812, they believed you should do something else, or what you ought to do, or what you can't or could. You know, I mean, you know, 100 years ago, if you were a woman, you were probably right to believe that you couldn't become a doctor or, you know, do something, and now that belief doesn't work.
Well, take us in a brief form down through the chakras and tell us how they relate to manifestation, to the process of manifestation. Can you give an example of how that works?
Sure. Okay, so first of all, you know, the chakra system is a map for consciousness, and the word chakra means wheel or disk, and you can think of them like floppy disks that are on your hard drive, you know, that plug programming in. And so as we come down, we're actually talking about different states of consciousness, different states of manifestation. So in the top down, of course, we begin with chakra 7, and we mentioned the principle there already, consciousness creates. So its location is the top of the head, and it's associated with thought and consciousness and ideas, and in, you know, that taking something in from spirit, from the cosmos, from the all the possibilities that exist in the cosmos, you know, some of those possibilities will pop into your brain, which means you'll have an idea or you'll have a conception. Now, a conception is merely a thought. You have to conceive of something before you make it. You know, in the creation of a being, you have a sperm and egg come together. That's a conception, and it's really too small for the naked eye, but it's full of information. So an idea is a thought form that begins the manifestation process, and everything that exists began as someone's idea. Maybe it was a good idea, maybe it was a bad idea, but it began as a conception. So that's where we begin. And that's not quite enough, of course. That conception then needs, that conception is like a blueprint. It's like the genetic code, for example. And the mother receives that information, and then she puts the flesh on according to that genetic code. So when we have an idea, we have the blueprint. The next step is we need to sort of color in the lines. And here we come to chakra 6, which is about sight and vision and the element light and being able to see your way and intuition. And here the principle is vision vitalizes. And that means that once we have the conception, as we imagine it, we fill it in with details, and we actually create a denser form on the thought plane. So maybe you have this idea that you want to build a house, and you start thinking about it, and as you do, you start looking at houses, and you visit people, and you notice how they did their kitchen, and what kind of windows they have, and you start to visualize your own house. You're bringing in more details. You're bringing it another step down into the realm of manifestation through the vitalization of repeated visualization. So we use our imagination to bring it down to that level.
Yeah, and in the belief closet process, of course, we use the visualization of our ideal house as the place to go to work with our beliefs. So we create an imaginal house, and we fill in the detail. You sort of start with an idea of the ideal house, and you begin filling in detail from the outside in. So that's that same process.
Yes, and in your belief closet process, you also use the visualization when you work with an outfit that you get out of the closet, and that it's not just an abstract belief like this is too hard or I don't have what it takes. You actually create the visualization. I mean, when you create an outfit, you're creating a visual form of that belief. It becomes more real that way, right?
Yep, good. So we're at sixth chakra, and we've envisioned the house. And
right.
Then what?
And so still, at 7 and 6, it's still nothing but something that's going on inside your own head. When we bring it down to chakra 5, which is about communication, and our principle here is communication catalyzes. If vision vitalizes, then communication actually brings it from the inside of your head to spread that consciousness to someone else's brain or to take it, you know, into the social world. And so through communication, we talk about what we're thinking of. So if we, again, use the example of a house, then you've been thinking about your house, you've been imagining it, you've been looking at houses. At chakra 5, you would go to an architect and you would sit down and the architect says, well, what kind of house do you want to make? And you say, well, I'm thinking of a brown shingle house that would be two stories and have gable windows and, you know, a whole back porch that is enclosed or whatever you're thinking of. And in that, you're giving even more detail. And through the process of communication, the person you're talking to will continue to ask refining questions like, how many bedrooms do you want, and how many square feet, and what kind of building materials are you thinking of, and
afford-
what's the land, so we get more details. Were you going to say something?
I just said, and they'll ask, can you afford this, or how much can you afford? Right.
You can't get that much house for that amount of money. Just might be true unless you're really good at your visualization. And I think you even got your own house that way, so that's another story. But so the other thing that happens as soon as you communicate your vision is that you are actually communicating it to another being, so you're bringing it into relationship. And nothing is created outside of relationship. You know, you're the product of your mother and father, however brief that relationship might have been. Even if it was a one-night stand, there was a relationship there. And, you know, a book or a product or a restaurant or even a healing practice, even if you think you're the only one creating this private healing practice, you're actually relating to your clients. Or you want to create a product, you have relationship with the customers. Everything really comes through relationship, and bringing it down into the social world where you're involving other people takes it into another level of manifestation. And now you might have other people that hold you to it and say, hey, you told me you were going to get this paper to me by Wednesday. Or, you know, we commit to, you know, when we wrote our book, we had to commit to the publisher that we would have the manuscript in by a certain time, and we needed to fulfill with that relationship. So it brings us into another level of specificity.
And if we're building a house, then we're going to have a relationship with a mortgage broker and the planning department and maybe an attorney and an accountant and bankers and the bank.
And the, you know, and the carpenters and the bricklayers and a relationship to the neighbors that you're going to build your house next to and all that. So there's a whole many series of relationships that are part of every manifestation. It's good to become conscious of those. So that's one of the things we do in the fourth chakra. We also look at how one's dream or vision serves more than themselves. And I know you and I have both said that what serves the greater good puts the wind at your back.
Even if you're building a house for yourself, it's actually also for your family and for your friends and neighbors. And you know, every house is really a community.
Yes, and how does that relate to and add to the neighborhood? Do you make something beautiful that beautifies the neighborhood? Are you going to have a garden in front that people will see as they go by? All of that, you know, and do you want a place to entertain? So, yeah, it's how do you use that in terms of relationship? Love enlivens is the principle here. So just to recap, we have consciousness creates, vision vitalizes, communication catalyzes, and love enlivens. When we do what we do with love, we bring life to it.
I like
and it. What we do with love lasts.
And, of course, people are complicated, so with all the joy, and we also get the troubles of being with other people, people that may have qualities or characteristics we don't like, and people who say no to us. You know, if the planning department says, no, you can't do that, you know, it generates all kinds of troubles along with the glory of creation.
Yes, and this brings in the fact that, you know, a lot of what we wrote about in our book is that at each chakra level, we encounter obstacles. And, in fact, because we're coming from the abstract plane down into density, at each level down, as we take another step into density, we experience a little bit of resistance. So sometimes the resistance can be on the part of the planning department saying, you're going to do what? Or it can be on the part of your partner saying, you're going to go there? Or you're going to do this? Or, you know, resistance that, you know, you've got kids to think about and you can't just go off to Australia for 6 months. So resistance is real, and we just call those obstacles, and even though it's real, there are ways to deal with the obstacles. So obstacles can occur at each chakra level.
And I've said that the difference between successful people and people who are not successful is that they both have obstacles coming up, and both have resistance coming up, and both have barriers coming up, from, both externally and internally. But successful people just know that they're coming up and have ways of dealing with them, and unsuccessful people quit because of the obstacles or the barriers or the resistance.
Exactly. And it's really because people don't know how to handle the obstacles. So if you have a big rock in your way, you need a particular tool to handle that rock. And if you've got the right tool, then it's easy to handle the obstacle. If you don't have the right tool, then it remains an obstacle.
Right. If you bring in a backhoe, sometimes is needed.
Yep, yep. And this is no more true than when we come to the next level of the chakras, which is chakra 3, the power chakra. Here, our principle is power produces. And this is the place where I think a lot of people get stuck. They can imagine it, they can visualize it, they can talk about it, they've got lots of friends, they can find the right people to talk to. But in every manifestation, there's things you got to get up in the morning, get out of bed, and go do. And some of those things are difficult. Some of those things aren't fun. And some of those things are really challenging. And we have to be able to send our will in harmony with what we want to create. And so we have to, kind of regale our will like a wind and get it going into our sails so that we can do the things we need to do and use our power to actually produce what we need to do. So that's chakra 3, and we often get a lot of obstacles in our will, and some of that is beliefs. Plenty of the, obstacles can be beliefs, and I think we're going to get to that in a little bit. So after the hard work of getting our will going where it needs to go, the next one is a little easier. We're starting to get into the stream of things now as we come down to chakra 2, which is the element water. And here the manifestation principle is that pleasure pleases. After the hard work of chakra 3 and chakra 2, we make it fun. We make it pleasurable. And here's where the law of attraction comes in my mind. People are attracted to what is going to bring them pleasure or fun. You know, if I say, there's a really lousy movie, you ought to go see it. Or I know a restaurant that serves terrible food. I mean, it's just not the way we work. But if I say, oh, this is a beautiful movie, the imagery is fantastic, or go to this restaurant, the dishes are so tasty and the atmosphere is so pleasant and the people and the service is great, you're going to have a pleasurable experience, then people are attracted to that. So whatever we want to manifest, we need to make it attractive. We need to make it fun. We need to make it pleasurable, which means we need to have fun while we're doing it and not take it so darn seriously all the time and remember that it's play. And when we're having fun with what we're doing, it's easier to go do it. We look forward to doing it. People have a good experience when they interact with us, your clients, your customers. If they think they're going to have a good time and get a pleasurable result, they'll come back for more.
So this is marketing to the desire body or spreading the word that something is great. So if you have a fence to whitewash and you can convince people that it's a privilege and it's a pleasure, you can get a lot of help.
Yep, exactly. And if you're having fun doing it yourself, that's going to spill over. Mm-hmm. And let your little kid come out and play.
Yeah, play is key for me for everything I do. If it's not playful, I don't feel like sticking around.
Exactly. Nobody does. And so it's making it playful will allow us to stick with something until it's done. And that brings us down to the first chakra, the base of the spine, element earth, where the principle here is matter matters. And this is where we get down to literally the nuts and bolts. This principle and this plane of manifestation is very exacting. It says if you're building a house and we've got the blueprints and we got the lumber on site and everything, we've got to cut that lumber to a very specific length and nail it together in a very specific way or it's not going to hold together. So it matters what we put in our foundation. It matters what we put in our body. It matters what agreements we make. It matters, what the purpose is behind what we're doing. all of these things matter as we bring our manifestation into matter, into the material way, into the material world. And so this is where we make commitments, and we put things on a calendar, and we stick to it until it's done, and we complete things. And if you complete every step along this process, you actually will get your manifestation. Most people, when they don't get their manifestation, it's that they stopped somewhere along the way.
And the first chakra is connected to our legs and our feet, and that states where we stand. You know, I'm taking a stand for myself, or I'm taking a stand for my dream, and now I'm moving forward step by step. So that grounded step-by-step formula is what works here in the first chakra.
Yep. Sometimes when people say, I don't know what my path is, I look at them and think, well, your feet aren't touching the ground then.
Right.
Because if your feet are touching the ground, you're already walking on your path.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about these obstacles and barriers and resistance that can come up. So the work in the belief closet is about the beliefs. There can be beliefs at every level. So at the first chakra, it could be, I can't do that. That would be a belief that would interfere with actually getting things done. Or, I don't know enough to do that. I'm not capable. In the second chakra, in passion and pleasure, that's not fun. It's certainly a belief that would interfere with that one.
Yeah, or who would be attracted to what I'm offering?
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's so many good healers out there. Who would be attracted to my practice? Is a kind of belief somebody would have, or a woman might feel like I can't attract, you know, I can't attract a man, I can't attract a, you know, I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'm too this or that, or a man could have his own beliefs about, you know, the lack of attractiveness or failure to be able to attract.
Right, but then you look around and you see people who you may not consider attractive, but yet they're vibrant and they're sexy and they're, you know, they have a full life because they see themselves that way, and they're able to create beautiful, attractive energy no matter what their shape or size or hair color is.
Yeah, and so you really see how that can be a matter of beliefs.
Great, and then in the power center, I have no control over that would be a belief that would certainly interfere with the ability to manage the world.
I have no control. It's too hard. I don't know how. Nobody fights City Hall. It's a kind of belief that people have in the third chakra on a more collective level. Or you can't fight City Hall, or it's no use. Is a common and often a belief that people don't realize they have. Oh well, it's no use saying anything to my husband. He never listens. It's no use saying anything at work. That's just how it is. You know, it's no use, you know, writing your politician. They don't read the letters, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's just how it is a really insidious belief.
Yes.
Just because it is that way doesn't mean it has to be that way. It's just the way it is right now. Yet it's that one belief probably stops more forward movement than anything.
Yeah. It can't be changed, you know. It's no use. So that's a belief in futility, yeah. And then we come up to the heart. So what's a belief there?
Nobody loves me.
Yeah.
I'm not lovable.
Relationships don't work.
Even if I tell them about this great idea, they'll probably just make fun of me.
Yeah, people have better things to do than talk to me. Yeah, those are the kind of beliefs we have about relationship. And, of course, that's a rich field for examining our beliefs. And they come out no more strongly than once you get into relationship.
In fact, because of previous beliefs reassert themselves when you try to create something new, as soon as you go into relationship, all the old beliefs will come back and reassert themselves. You know, she can't possibly love me. I'm not worthy of love. This will never work out. Why would she want to be with me anyway?
You're actually my father, not my partner.
Say that again?
At least that you're my father, not my partner, or somebody's your mother instead of your partner.
Right. Good. So yeah. All kinds of beliefs about relationships and our the popularity of relationship workshops and books is proves that there's a rich minefield there. Both a minefield like explosive mines and also a gem minefield. So,
yep. A lot of rich territory. Really, as you uncover that, this gives you more freedom. Mm-hmm. So then in the fifth chakra, we have a lot of beliefs about what it's okay to say. You know, oh, I can't say that to so-and-so. They'll react, or they'll not believe me, or they'll think I'm stupid if I open my mouth, or they don't want to listen to me. Those are common beliefs that block our ability to communicate. What are some that you know of?
I've just gone silent here. I guess I don't have anything to say. That would be a belief that would get, it would be interfering, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Nobody listens to me. My voice, it doesn't matter. Things like that.
Yeah, yeah. What I have to say doesn't matter. That's why it's a real killer.
Mm-hmm. Nobody listens. It's all lies anyway. I can't tell the truth.
I like remembering that the fifth chakra is hearing as well as speaking, and some people, you know, talk and talk and talk, and they don't bother listening, and some people listen and never speak up for themselves. So either of those can happen, where it's kind of a one-way instead of a two-way, and a healthy fifth chakra is, you know, both listening and speaking and interacting with others, because that's the only way communication really works.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that interferes with our listening is the value judgments we have about something, you know, and if we're really caught up in a lot of shoulds and somebody is telling us that we're not doing what we should, we may not want to hear it. We may get really defensive around that, but that's just a set of beliefs as well. And if we can just, you know, take away the value judgments that means I'm good or I'm bad and just listen to whatever is true, we're more able to hear it.
Right, or to listen and first and then measure it to see internally, is that true? That's what I recommend to people, as you listen to whatever feedback you get rather than reacting to it and saying no immediately. And just listen and then don't take it in without questioning either, but take it in, sit with it, investigate internally and say, is that true inside of me? And that's a good way of dealing with any feedback you get rather than just responding, yes, it must be true, or no, it can't be true.
Right, and that's another level of listening. It's sort of like listening to your body, listening to your feelings, listening to your intuition. Those are also levels of listening that have to do with the fifth chakra, but they might not be in words.
Good.
And so,
sixth chakra.
Beliefs in sixth chakra. They're a little harder to get at, but they're beliefs that something should look a certain way. You know, certainly almost all of us believe that we ourselves should look a certain way. I should look like the models in the magazines. I should look better than this at my age. I should, you know, be thinner. I should be brighter. I should, you know, be making more money by this age. I should, you know, my relationship should look like this. My job should look like this. So it's beliefs about what, and that keeps us from seeing clearly what something is, because we think it should look a certain way. What would you add about beliefs in the sixth chakra?
Well, since beliefs act like filters on our perception, they act like a lens in front of our eyes. And so if we believe life is hard, then we're looking out through that lens. And what it looks like is everywhere you look is life is hard. And by changing the lens, we look out through that belief and have a different experience of the world.
Yeah. So we actually see the world differently when we change our beliefs. Mm-hmm. And then finally, in the crown chakra, consciousness itself, well, that's really made of beliefs. And the way I look at that is that from what one thing the crown chakra is doing from every experience we have is it creates meaning out of that experience. Oh, so-and-so spoke to me in a cross voice. That means they're unhappy with me. This happened on a certain day. That means I'm fated to, you know, do something. So we take meaning out of every experience, and the meaning that we take from all those experiences add up to beliefs, which becomes the structure of consciousness.
Right, right. And self-definition and self-esteem are here too. So whatever follows I am is a belief that's here in the conception of who I am. So our very first belief is simply I am this, I am not that. So that's our first separation, our first identity. And then we begin layering it with all the things that I am. My name is Lion. I am a man. I am a father. I am a husband. I am this. I am that. And so every one of those is a belief that is, in essence, limiting, because really we have infinite possibility in each of us. But every belief is a limit, is a bubble that we put around ourselves and say, I am this. I am not that. So I am not a pianist. I don't play the piano. Doesn't mean I can't learn, but if I say I can't play the piano, I'm putting a limitation on myself.
And people say it all the time, like, oh, I'm not a dancing person, or I'm not a beer person, I'm a wine person. Or, you know, I'm not. Yeah, I wine all the time, right? Having a wonderful wine. Wish you were beer.
That's very funny. Good. Well, I know that you have a quiz that we can invite people to partake in, and so we can find out whether you, the listening audience, have some of these beliefs in different chakras. And so, why don't we do that? And if you, after each question or each set of questions that Anadea asks, you can press one if one of them sounds familiar. Two, if you have two of them, and three, if you have all three, or if you recognize all three inside yourself. And we'll just do a quick poll, and this will give you a sense of which of your chakras are very active in your particular system. And this will help you identify some of the beliefs you can work with this week in class, or in the coming weeks, or on your own in the belief closet. So you ready for that, Anadea?
Yeah, I am. And I would just say, you know, we're asking three questions for each chakra. So as you, just to repeat what you said, just so people are clear, you may have a strong yes to the question. You may have a strong no. That would be the easiest. And it may be somewhere in the middle. And just see if it would fall more than 50% toward the yes, then you would answer yes for that question. And just hold the thought, until we've asked all three. So if you say yes to all three questions in a particular chakra, then it's pretty safe to say that you've got a block in that chakra and you probably have some beliefs that are blocking your way. And if you get a two, well, there's still something to work on. If you get a one, you're probably pretty average and you would be really clearing that chakra to work on that particular area. So it's a way of assessing each chakra. If you get zero, then great. You know, you are not blocked in your manifestation process in that particular area. So I hope that that's pretty clear.
Good. And so for all of those of you who are listening, if you're listening to the recording, you might want to get a piece of paper and pencil out to take some notes for yourself. But the first thing is to choose something that you really want to accomplish or do or have, but you haven't been able to create in your life. So maybe it's an ideal relationship, or maybe it's a particular kind of work in the world, or something about your health or your money flow and prosperity, or whatever it is, whatever you have tried to manifest in your life but been frustrated by. So take a minute and visualize the desire you have for it. Feel the desire. Visualize it. And also feel the frustration you have about not having it right now, or the frustration you've had about trying to get it and not getting it. So remember the attempts you've made to create this in your life, and maybe you remember a moment where you gave up, or the feeling of frustration as you feel like you're beating your head against the wall. So you're going to be focusing on this particular creation throughout the exercise that Anadea takes us through. So each of the questions that she asks, compare it to this visualization and this feeling and the desire of actually having that in your life. And be sure, let it be okay that you can have it, that it's okay that you want that, and that it's something that you could create. if you could get around the barriers and the resistance. So is that a good setup, Anadan?
Great setup. And what we're just going to look at is what chakra you might be most stuck in the process of manifesting that particular dream or vision. So with that, we will start. And because it's manifestation, we'll start at the top with consciousness. Chakra 7, consciousness creates. And because we're coming from the infinite, the first question here is, do you have a hard time choosing between your many options in life? Perhaps fearing out that you'll miss out if you don't do everything. Like a lot of people in their manifestation, oh, I could do all this and this, but I don't know which one to choose. Do you get a yes, a strong yes, or a no on that one? Second one has to do with attention. Do you have a hard time keeping your attention focused on one thing until you complete that task? Yes or no? And the other one has to do with opening to guidance, spiritual guidance, higher self guidance, however you define that. Do you feel blocked in receiving spiritual guidance that helps you make difficult decisions?
Great. People are voting in. Great. So right now it looks like we've got a bell curve on this one, about 10% or less on 1 and 3, and almost 50% on 2.
Okay. So most of them have 2 out of 3. So there's always a lot of work in consciousness. I mean, I can't imagine that everybody can keep their attention focused in this day and age when there's so many distractions. You know, but some people really are focused. Okay, so now we come down to chakra 6, vision vitalizes. And first we have to do with imagination. Do you find it difficult to imagine life as different than it is now? It can also be our world. It could be your personal world or our world in general. That's question one. Do you have a hard time visualizing the path toward your goals? A little different than imagination, actually visualizing your end product. And the third question is, are you confused about your life purpose? Yes or no? And now, once again, press 1, 2, or 3 for how many questions you said yes to.
And we don't have, we didn't recommend if you had 0, so we'll just say press 5 if you got 0. We want to be fair to everybody. Great, so this time we got about 15% with 1, 21% with 2, 10% with 3, and another 12% with 0. So thank you.
0, you're really good in that chakra. Okay, so now we come down to chakra 5, communication. Do you have lots of ideas but find it difficult to communicate them to others? This is probably one you've already dealt with on this, but do you have voices in your head that tell you you're not good enough or that criticize everything you do? Third question, do you find it difficult to align your words and actions? So press 1, 2, 3, or 5 if your answer was 0 on a no for all those questions.
So we had about a quarter, about a third of the people with 1, a quarter with 2, under 10% for 3, and we have a couple people with 0.
Hey. Okay, good. So now chakra 4, love enlivens. Do you often think that you could do anything if only you had the right relationships? Like, I'd just be great if I just met the right man or the right woman or the right investor. Yes or no? Do you lack consistent support from others to achieve your dreams? And the third question, do you find it difficult to work with others collaboratively? Okay, 1, 2, 3, or 0, press 5.
Kind of an even slide. 1, we've got about 12%, 3, 9%, 2, 6%, and then 0.09%.
A little higher number of people with zero on that one, a clear chakra. Good. Okay, chakra three, power chakra. Power produces. Do you often fail to follow through with your will, for example, staying on a diet, returning phone calls, cleaning your house, or exercising? Fail to follow through on what you set out for yourself as an intention. And, of course, probably everybody does that some. The question is really often. Second question, do you feel confused about how to break your dream down into manageable tasks? Bite-sized chunks of things to do. And the third question, do you get waylaid by common obstacles such as phone calls, emails, TV, kids, friends, or other distractions? We're actually saying, are you easily distracted?
Great. So here's a bell curve again. We've got 12%, 34%, and 15% on 1, 2, and 3, and then we've got, again, a couple people who said zero to that one. Good for you guys.
Good for you guys on the will. Woo-hoo. Okay, chakra two, pleasure pleases. Do you often want to give up on your dream, your project, because life just isn't fun anymore? Second question, do you have difficulty attracting what you need, such as customers, clients, collaborators, investors? And the third question, do you lack passion in what you are now doing?
That's pretty much straight across the board. We've got 12 to 20% on 1, 2, and 3. They're pretty evenly divided, plus, again, a couple people who pressed 5.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, this means that all the people that didn't press 5 could be having more fun. That's the good news.
Right, good. Let's have more fun. When I was a headhunter, people always had objectives on the top of their resume, and I realized that really all of everybody's objectives for their next job could be translated into 4 words: more money, more fun.
Yeah, more money, less time. Okay, chakra one, matters. So, first question, do you struggle with money and finances, living in a state of not enough? Question number two, do you fail to complete things even when they're almost finished? Completing a degree, completing a book, completing a project. And the third question is, do you struggle to keep your body healthy and fit, living more in your head than living in your body?
I have to raise my hand on that one.
And yet you're quite grounded, Lion.
I'm very grounded.
Yeah, but it just shows we can be grounded in some parts of a chakra and not so much in others. Yeah.
Right.
So what's our tabulation on that one?
Yeah, in this one we've got 10% ones, 21% two, 18% three, and 9% five. So a lot of people are very grounded, and got a pretty even spread on those others.
Okay, great. And I would say that behind each one of those yes questions, whether it was you only answered to 1, 2, or 3, that there are some beliefs.
That was going to be my next recommendation, is that you take a look at what you said yes to, and you ask the question, what belief is in there? What belief is underneath that experience I'm having? Because if, as we posit, there are beliefs underneath every experience. Even if your experience appears to be out in the world, like I don't get enough support, they won't let me, or I can't seem to break through that thing out there, it's actually a reflection of something in here. So it's a wonderful opportunity to look deeply into yourself and ask the question, what do I believe about that? Sometimes it's just one of those filters that allows you to see some things and not others. If you believe there's no opportunities out there and you're looking at the world through that belief, then the belief itself will filter what you see and you won't be able to see any of the opportunities that are out there. So this is a great way of examining yourself inside yourself. Now it's nearly 6 o'clock, and we did have we had a couple more things that we thought of doing, but I think this would be a good time to just take some shares from people and ask them what they've discovered today. Would that work for you, Anadea?
Absolutely.
Good, and you can stay on for a while and interact. Good. So, what if you would like to share a discovery you had, or if you have a question for Anadea about manifestation and the chakras, or if you have a question for me about beliefs, press 1, and we'll take your calls. And our call master, Michelle, will call on you one by one.
There's a question from the webcast, and it was just a request. Can you please repeat the essential principle of chakra 5 and 4?
Sure. The principle for chakra 5 is communication catalyzes. So, you know, to be a catalyst is to make something happen. You know, like sometimes a particular chemical can catalyze a process. Well, our communication will catalyze a process. And chakra 4 is love enlivens. It brings life to whatever you're doing.
Right, and the chakra of relationships and establishing relationships, maintaining relationships, getting rid of the relationships you don't need, and creating new ones where you do. Thank you.
Kelly, you're live. You have a question or a comment?
Hi, Kelly.
Yeah, hi. How do you clear this or get, you know, the chakra that you're aware of? How do you start clearing all that? Get to a better place? Is that the correct wording?
Yeah, well, there's different processes for each chakra, but I think what's pertinent to this course that Lion is teaching is that for each chakra there are also beliefs that pertain to that particular chakra. So beliefs about our communication, beliefs about our power, beliefs about our relationships, beliefs about our body, you know. So the first step is to clear the beliefs we have that are in the way.
Okay.
And in our workshops that we conduct, mm-hmm. we use many different techniques for clearing the different chakras. So, for example, in the power chakra, you can clear beliefs, which really helps, but then at some point you need to actually stand up and move in order to express your power. So you can sit back and clear all the beliefs you want, but then at some point you need to move, because chakra 3 is about movement. It's the chakra of fire, and fire is constantly moving. So there are bioenergetic exercises that we use in our workshop. There are psychological exercises we do. There's physical movement. There's yoga. Yoga is another great way of clearing the chakras and clearing the knots or the grantis that are in the chakras. So it's really important to embody the shifts as well as do the head work. Some people have called the belief closet process heady, but to me it's very experiential, because we're actually going into the belief closet and feeling the belief. It's not just a head trip. But it is equally important to get your body engaged and to move your body and to do the things that to clear the knots inside the physical part of you, as well as the psychic, the mental, the psychological, and emotional parts of you.
And we're going to be able to do this through that 7 weeks?
Yeah. Well, if you continue to come to classes and clear your beliefs, things will open up for you. So we don't promise miracle cures, because the FDA wouldn't let us, but who knows, you might have a miracle cure.
I want one, please.
Classes have had, you know, real miracles occur, and the first step is clearing the beliefs. You know, and even if you do the movement and you haven't cleared the belief will still be in your way. So, you know, this is the step in the path.
And we highly recommend getting our book, Creating on Purpose, and that actually has our whole workshop in a book. So it has many of the exercises we use in the workshop right there. And many of the exercises you need a partner, so it's good to get a partner to do the reading and the exercises with you. But there's a lot you can do on your own, so highly recommended. Okay, good. Anyone else like to share an insight that they got during this hour that we've spent with Anadea about your own chakras? Hi, Joy.
Yeah, thanks. Hi. In terms of the numbers, 2, 1, 2, or 3, it seemed pretty even throughout the chakras. And So I guess seems like there's a lot, just a lot of beliefs that need to be worked with. Is that fairly typical that it's not necessarily just one or two of the chakras that are blocked? And can you speak to also a little bit how the energy is moving through the chakras when these blockages are occurring?
Ah, sure. So, well, let me take that question first. When a blockage occurs, and I talk about blockages in the chakras, can be either an excessive chakra, means it's like a traffic jam, it's stuck because there's too much in it, or a deficient chakra means it's so contracted that nothing can get through. Two different kind of states of being. One is very closed and one is so open that everything gets stuck in there. And so the energy will have to travel around some other way. So, for instance, if you have a deficient chakra in one place, another chakra will be excessive to balance that out. So if you're not in your body, you're probably really in your head. That would be the simplest thing. If you suppress your emotions and you don't let yourself cry or have emotional feelings, then you might compensate for that by talking too much. That would be another kind of example. If you're not grounded, you might, you know, try to ground through having an excessive will that controls everything. So these are ways that the patterns come out into the excess and deficiency of the blocks. And, you know, the energy will try to take an end run. It'll try to move around something. And that just creates sort of a groove in the psyche that once we're always, then we always start to do an end run on that, and it's even harder to get into the chakra. And what was your first question again?
Oh, I was just noticing that I kind of had the same, I kind of had two for every chakra, basically. But I'm quite interested in what you're talking about right now in terms of the compensatory or the alternative grooves that are happening. If you could say a little bit more about that and how to work with that, that would be very helpful.
I think how to work with it is really noticing, you know, with each element of the chakras, with each aspect of what that chakra is about, whether it's about communication or relationship or your will or your pleasure, is to look and say, do I do too much of that or do I do not enough of it? Do I compensate there or do I avoid? And that what you're, you know, and is one chakra compensating for the avoidance in another? And to look at your overall pattern and say, what do I need to do to become more balanced? Now, as you asked your question about, you know, kind of being evenly distributed in your, you know, partial blockages, that's pretty typical. And, you know, because I don't think anybody is totally clear in all seven chakras. And all of us have, you know, even I've been working with the system for 40 years, I have to answer yes to some of those questions. And, you know, there's still work to do. So it's more really about showing you where the work is and where you're probably likely to have a pile of beliefs that are part of that blockage, you know. And, you know, people do ask, is this pattern typical? And, you know, in my travels, I don't know what's typical. You know, people are all different, and it's just, it's our pattern. But I think that if you're evenly distributed, there's not a particular chakra you're stuck in. It's just there's a little work to do in each one.
And from a belief perspective, to the best of my estimating ability, we have tens of thousands of beliefs inside of us that we've picked up along the way, from our earliest childhood and infancy all the way through to the news you got yesterday that reinforced a belief. So, but also when you look at a person's psychological complexes, you know, what are the big things that really bug them, really mess with their lives? Most of us only have three or four or five of those, and those come as clusters of beliefs. And so you can work on the clusters, and if you get those out of the way, if you clear the clusters, pretty much life kind of loosens up and you get more flexible, more easy, and life goes more positively. So I don't think it's an infinite set of beliefs that you have to clear. You really only need to clear the ones that are interfering with you. And depending on what you're doing, some beliefs will interfere and others are sitting there dormant in the subconscious. You don't have to worry about them because as soon as you decide to do something new or create something new or change your environment, they'll pop up and remind you they're there. And that's the time to bring out the belief closet, use it to clear them, and then get back to work.
Thank you.
And the belief is something that served you once upon a time and was probably true once upon a time.
Some of the, can I ask one more spin-off question, just when you're describing certain behavioral patterns, if you're not grounded, you will be more excessively wanting to control things and those types of behavioral patterns. Is it useful to know about those different elements? And if so, where would that information be available? Would that help to focus on what some of the beliefs are?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I want to highly recommend Anna Dea's book, Eastern Body, Western Mind, which takes the chakras and looks at human psychology from the chakra perspective and really takes apart and makes sense of so much of our own human psychology. So that's one place I would go. And the other place I want to highly recommend is Anna Dea's video called The Illuminated Chakras. If you want to know more about the chakras, there's just no better way than taking a look at her half-hour award-winning video, The Illuminated Chakras. Both of these are available on her website, sacredcenters.com. Do you want to say anything else about it?
Eastern Body, Western Mind goes into the psychological makeup and the things that happen to us that create blocks in our chakras, you know, the power dynamics of our family and, you know, the way we were talked to and the, you know, early bonding patterns of childhood.
Great. Well, thank you. We got a couple more questions.
Hi, this is Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hi. I was just wondering, I mean, I know there's something called a sacred wound, and so I'm imagining, you know, if that's true, that there are certain patterns or blocks that are there for a reason, because they're, you know, helping us create whatever we came to create or travel whatever path we're meant to travel. And so I'm wondering how much, I don't know, it's not a general question, how much are we supposed to be healing, or is some of that supposed to be there? How do you think of that? I guess either of you or both of you.
Yeah, well, I've got a good take on that. I do work with people's purpose, their life purpose, and what we've noticed is that whatever circumstances you were born into, whatever traumas and troubles that you had as a child, are actually purposeful in the sense that they will cause you to develop certain strengths and abilities as you respond to them that will be useful later in your life when you manifest your purpose. This seems to be pretty universal. In fact, I haven't seen any case in which it's not the case, that even people with the most horrible childhoods, and I talked to one today who was just over the top, terrible childhood, that strengthened her and gave her such courage and such heart that she's now this force for good in the world. So I don't know about people who are criminals. My take for them is that, you know, they have sort of fallen off the wayside, that they haven't found a way to use their wounds for the manifesting their life purpose. But the sacred wound is that which causes you to become strong. And that old saying, that which does not kill us makes us stronger, could be said as that which does not kill us allows us to fulfill our purpose. Is that helpful to hear?
Yeah, and I was wondering if Anna Dea could say a piece also, just compare. I like that. Sounds good.
Well, I think the sacred wounds are there for us to heal, and that healing may very well bring us an awareness that is part of our life purpose. And I think the sacred wounds can be figured into the life purpose. It's not just the positive things that happen in life. You know, for instance, your own wounding from childhood may make you a great therapist because you've actually worked through them. But they're not sacred wounds if you were not working to heal them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a process that actually directs our life.
Yeah, so it's actually doing the work that makes it sacred, huh?
And but it's not like you want to, like, oh, they're sacred, so I don't have to work on them.
That would be called an excuse, I think.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. And one last question.
I actually just wanted to comment on Eastern Body, Western Mind and say that it's fabulous. It's the best chakra book that I've ever read, and I'm reading it actually for the third time now because every time I read it, I get a little bit more. So
okay.
I just wanted to definitely get that book if you're interested in chakras.
Thank you for the plug on the book.
Yes, wonderful. So I want to thank everyone for being here, those of you on the webcast, those of you who called in on the phone, and those of you listening to the recording. Really appreciate your being here, appreciate your involvement and your good work inside yourself. And Anadea, I thank you so much for everything that you have contributed to my life, and now we're about to launch this book, and we've got even, our baby is born, so we got a lot to do together.
Yeah, it's been great. Thank you for having me on the call. And you guys, if you work with your beliefs, you're really in for some radical transformation in your life. This stuff works. I've seen it in action, so stick with it.
Yay. Thank you all for showing up and showing up in your life and showing up with your beliefs and your willingness and your courage that it takes to clean out your belief closet. So I'll open the phone lines and... once again, thanks to everybody. You have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.